It's all about the blood. It's all about Calvary. It's all about Jersey flowing down an old rugged tree. It's all about grace. It's all about sacrifice. God's love is all about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not cathedrals, it's not steeples, it's not crosses made of gold. It's not just sentimental stories that have been passed down from old. It's not religion or tradition that can save the souls of men. It took the sinless blood of one holy lamb. It's all about the blood. It's all about Calvary. It's all about mercy flowing down an old rugged tree. It's all about grace. It's all about sacrifice. God's love is all about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a scarlet thread that ties the beginning to the end. It's a river of forgiveness that washes away our sin. It's a healing stream, a fountain, an eternal cleansing flood. And the heartbeat of the gospel will forever be the blood. It's all about the blood. It's all about Calvary. It's all about mercy flowing down an old rugged tree. It's all about grace. It's all about sacrifice. God's love is all about the blood of Jesus Christ. God's love is all about the blood of Jesus Christ.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, fellas. And it is about the blood. Amen. You know, one drop of blood. You say, preacher, what if the Lord only shed one drop of blood? There was enough power in that one drop to save the entire world of every sin that's ever been committed in the history of the world. God bless you, fellas. Thank you for the song. Let's open our Bibles, if you would, this morning to three passages of Scripture. If you'll turn to John 15, Psalm 33, and 1 Samuel 17. John chapter 15, Psalm 33, and 1 Samuel 17. You know, this Memorial Day weekend signifies a time for us to stop our busy schedules for a while and remember what some wonderful, sacrificial people have done for this country. You know, it's amazing how often we forget things and we forget what others have done for us, because we live in such a society today that it seems to be all about what have you done for me lately, not necessarily what have you done for me in the past. I'm here to tell you, my friend, I'm American from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I'm a patriot from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. God never gave me the opportunity to serve in the military, though I wanted to, but I want to just tell you this morning that you're looking at a preacher that don't ever talk bad about our armed forces, don't ever talk bad about our country, our flag, our national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, or anything else I don't want you to talk about when it comes to America. I love America. And this is a special time. This is a weekend of dedication to remember some folks who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Now, I'm talking just to give you enough time to find John 15, Psalm 33, and 1 Samuel 17. And we're going to do this in a little bit out of order style. So would you stand with me this morning? We're going to read Psalm 33 in verse 12 to begin with. Psalm 33 and verse number 12. The scripture says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, I want to stop there and just say this. Did you notice it said, it did not say, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the God"? Because you'd be amazed at how many Americans you go around today and ask them, "Do you believe in God?" "Yes." "Do you believe in God?" "Yes." But that's not the terminology the scripture used. It said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Anybody in here like blessings? Anybody in here like favor? Anybody in here like the smile of an individual that they show to you because you're in favor or you have been blessed or you have blessed them? Everybody likes favor. Everybody likes blessing. Folks, this is not difficult to figure out how to get it and what we're to do as a nation and as a people to get the blessings of God. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, take your Bible, if you would, John 15. John chapter 15 and verse number 13. Jesus spoke these words. He says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, I want to say this for just a moment. There's an application here, but the general context is Jesus was speaking about himself. He was talking about himself. He was about to go and lay down his life for his friends. Guess who that is? That's us. That's us this morning. But he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm just going to read one verse and we'll come back to 1 Samuel 17. So just hold your place there. Verse 29. "And David said, what have I now done?" And here's what I want to speak to you about this morning. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And I've entitled the message this morning, "The Challenge and the Cause." Because we're faced with both today. A challenge and a cause. Father, would you meet with us now in the short period of time that we have to study the Bible? Now we ask, Spirit of God, please go from person to person, pew to pew this morning. And would you do something divine? Would you convict us, Lord, of our sins? Would you convict us, Lord, if we are out of fellowship with you? And Lord, would you bring us back to fellowship with you this morning? Lord, there are people here this morning that need a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. Let this be the day, this Memorial Day weekend, this Sunday, today, be that day, that special day that they can look back on and point toward the Sunday before Memorial Day, is that being the day they got gloriously born into the family of God. Now, Father, I don't know every need of every person this morning, but I do know this. You have a great desire to do something wonderful and divine today. So we submit ourselves to you. This service is yours. Would you teach us now from the Bible, we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. As I mentioned, Memorial Day weekend kind of signifies a time for us to stop our busy schedules and respect the sacrifice of those who have offered their lives, fellow Americans, patriots on our behalf, so that we can have what we have as a nation, so that we can have what we have as a home, so that we can have the vision of freedom still existing in America today. You know, I've often wondered, what is it that exists in the heart of a young man and a young woman who would be willing to volunteer their services, to go to a battlefield of the world and literally put their life at stake every moment that they're there? There's something in those individuals. There's something there that's been put in their heart. What is it that exists in the heart of some of us middle-aged and some of the older Americans this morning who may not be able to physically perform the duties of a soldier, but outwardly we still burn with the desire to perform inwardly? And let me tell you something. If they'd let me, we go to war, if they'd let me, they said, "Listen, preacher, you can go." I said, "All right, somebody take the pulpit. I'm going." Because let me tell you something. I believe in the cause. I believe in what America stands for today. I don't care what anybody else says. I believe that the American way works today. Listen, a lot of the people today say, "Well, I'll tell you what it is. What is it that exists in these young people? What exists in these middle-aged and older Americans? Now, I'll tell you what it is. It's a passionate love and gratitude for country and people is what it is. It's a real dedication, listen to me, to a cause and a purpose that's provided us freedom and liberty today to have a family, a place of employment, a church to attend, and a future to look forward to. That's what exists in these young people. That's what exists in these middle-aged Americans and older Americans today. You see, these brave men and women really believe in what we call the American dream. You see, they realize that freedom and liberty are only as strong, listen to me now, as the founding documents that support those beliefs. When they go to the battlefields and they fight, they're not just fighting for freedom, my friend. They're fighting on behalf of our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. You see, our brave patriots, freedom to them, freedom is not just a word, it's a way of life that's sewn into the fabric of our nation and the people that make up this nation. No greater society and culture in the world than America. No one gives their life for a theory. No one gives their life for speculation or unproven philosophies. People give their life, though, for something that's proven, that's tried and tested and proven to work. That's what they give their lives for. Let me tell you something. America's not some Johnny-come-lately who's been testing a theory for 237 years. Hey, America has proven the American way works, and it has worked and will continue to work as long as we keep God our Lord. As long as we keep Him in the forefront of everything that we do. Remember I told you that it didn't say, blessed is the nation whose God is the God? It said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That word Lord has a very, very personal context to it. It means a nation that has made Him master. A nation that has made Him leader, general. The nation that has made Him the person in the forefront that says, this is the way and we follow that way. And we follow the guidelines of His Word. We follow the guidelines of His principles. You see, the problem is today in America, it seems that America and even Christians, we've lost our battle cry. We've lost a motto to drive us to continue to do the things that's made America great and the Church of the Living God great. You see, our armed services today have mottos. The Army says their motto is, this will defend. Which sounds to me like they're going to be pretty aggressive because they have a cause. The Navy says honor, courage, and commitment. Or not for self. But country. Boy, isn't that an innovative idea? To put our country and our freedom and liberty before ourselves. The Marines say always, not sometimes, always faithful. Always faithful. The Air Force says service before self. The Coast Guard says always ready. You see, what I'm saying is these are mottos of our armed forces that seemed to we have forgotten today. They're good, many believe, in theory, but very few are actually participating. I wonder how many of God's people today would say, this will defend. I wonder how many of God's people will say, honor, courage, commitment, not for self, but for country and God. Wonder how many would say, like the Marines, always faithful. I wonder how many today of God's people, like the Air Force, would say, service before self, or like the Coast Guard, always ready. You see, the thing about these mottos, they're a battle cry. They're a motto that pushes them to service. You see, today, believers, we've got to have a motto. We've got to have a rallying cry. We've got to have a cry for our master and our purpose and our future. And may I say to you, if you're still there in 1 Samuel 17, David gave us our motto. David gave us our battle cry. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason and a purpose to fight, to stand up for truth and stand up for God? I'm here to tell you as a preacher of the gospel, there is a cause today. You see, for anyone to stand up and fight for a cause, they kind of need to know what the cause is. You see, I'm afraid that too many Americans today and too many Christians are not sure what the cause is. They're not sure exactly why are we doing this? Why do we need to stand up? Why do we need to sacrifice? What are we doing, what we're doing today? But they not only need to know the cause and what the cause is, they need to be totally committed to that cause. Now, with that said, 1 Samuel 17, let me give you the story, all right? I want to draw some conclusions here. The army of Israel has now been camped on the hills outside the valley of Elah. And here coming in day after day was the champion of the Philistines, one Goliath by name. For 40 days he came into that valley. For 40 days he cursed the living God. For 40 days he basically went because nobody would come down and challenge him. He was calling the people of God chickens. He was calling the people of God, listen, you don't have a cause, because if you had a cause, you would have somebody down here to fight me. You know where the people of God were? They were up on the hillside. Listen, and they put up with this for 40 stinking days. They put up with this reprobate. And they just listened, listen now, and did absolutely nothing. They did nothing. Goliath represented a threat, listen now, to the very core of the values of Israel, to the culture of Israel. Goliath represented as a threat to the very faith of Israel. You see, when Goliath came down into that valley day after day, he challenged the people of God. And can I say to you this morning, we are in a situation today where we are being challenged. I just want to ask you, is there a cause or not, folks? Does America have a cause? Does Christianity have a cause? Are we going to just sit back like Israel did and do nothing? Absolutely nothing. You see, Goliath challenged the people, listen now, on who they were. People of God. If you're people of God, you'd have somebody down here. And if you really believe what you said, you'd have somebody down here to face me. Let me tell you something today, my friend. The rest of the world, no wonder they're laughing at Christians. No wonder they're laughing at the church today. You know why? Because they rise up and they pass all these laws to legalize abortion and all these other nonsensical issues, and the believers do nothing. He said, if you believe this, you'd come down and do something about it. And we sit back and we watch. And we sit back and we watch. Listen to me, folks. For 50 years, we've been sitting back and watching. And more and more and more is being passed. And we're doing nothing. Nothing about it. Goliath challenged who they were. Listen. Goliath challenged what they were. He challenged the very essence of what they were. And folks, I'm going to tell you here today. When I got saved, my friend, I got saved. I got born into the family of God. I know what it's like to work for the enemy. I know what it's like to be in captivity. I know what it's like to be in prison to sin. I know what it's like to live on the other side of the Christian tracks. I'm here to tell you, my friend, when I got born again, I got on the Lord's side. And listen, God gave me a cause, and I refuse to lay down and ignore the challenge that faces the cause today. Goliath, he challenged who they were, he challenged what they were, and he challenged what they believed. You know why most of God's people today are cowering down? They don't know what they believe. Hey, folks, if you know what you believe, you can stand up. You can stand up with confidence. You can stand up and speak up for the things of God. But Goliath stood in that valley for 40 days, and he challenged who they were, and what they believed. But wait a minute, let me tell you something else he challenged. He challenged their God's authority and ability. He challenged their God's authority and ability because he cursed the living God. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but something happens inside me when I hear people curse God. And I don't give a flip whether it's in the grocery store line, at the restaurant, or on TV. You know what? For somebody to curse God, that's blasphemy. That's wrong. And we do nothing. Nothing about it. So, preacher, I just don't want to cause a problem. Well, when are we going to cause a problem then? If we're not going to defend the name and the holy, thrice holy name of God, then when are we going to speak up? When are we going to say something? You see, he challenged their God's authority and their God's ability. Because, by the way, if God was their God, he wouldn't let me come down here for 40 days and do this. Sure, if your God had the ability to deliver you, he would have delivered you by now. You see, the thing about it is, the good thing about this, folks, is we're not operating on Goliath's time, we're operating on God's time. That's the great thing about this. You see, but Goliath challenged who they were and what they were and what they believed. He challenged their God's authority and ability. Oh, listen now, he challenged their future. Did you remember what he said? He came into the valley, he said, send a man down here to fight me. He said, you know what? If he whoops me, and this is Mississippi translation, all right? If he whoops me, then we'll be your servants. He said, but if I whoop him, you will serve me the rest of your lives. And folks, let me tell you something. Do you know we're being challenged in America today? Do you know what society is saying? Send me a man. Send me a church. Send me a people. Is anybody going to come and challenge the culture of today? Is anybody going to come and challenge the things that are going on in our society today? The immorality, the perversion that's going on? Is anybody going to stand up? The world says, hey, I'm looking around. I haven't seen anybody in 50 years. Is anybody going to stand up? You see, Goliath challenged their future. Now, folks, I don't know about you. You can't serve two masters. The world thinks that that's what we believe. Because you know what? Too many of God's people are trying to. They're trying to hold the world on one hand and the church on the other hand. But he began to challenge who they were, what they were, what they believed. He began to challenge their God and he began to challenge their future. Listen to me, friend. Satan has presented us today with a great challenge in a lot of the same areas that he challenged Jesus on. Remember that the scripture says the Spirit of God drew Jesus away into a high mountain and there he was tempted. Wait a minute now. How many days? 40. How many days did Goliath stand in the valley and curse God? 40. You see, what I'm saying today is that God today, folks, I don't know how many days. I don't know how long God's going to let this go. But I'm telling you, there was a limit of 40 days and Goliath went down. There was a limit of 40 days and Jesus came down. Now what are we going to do? The time's growing short. But Satan challenged Jesus. He challenged Jesus in his purpose. He challenged Jesus according to his power. Do you have the ability to do this? Are you sure this is about souls? Are you sure this is about a cross and not yourself? He challenged his purpose, his power. He challenged his position. Listen, what motivated Christ to fulfill the cause for which he came was love that fueled the flame for people dying without Christ. You see, that's what fueled him. That's what focus he had. Hey, listen, Jesus battled on every front. He battled it in person. He battled it in purpose. Oh, by the way, he battled it in prayer also. You see, we're not going to win the battle that we face today with a knuckle sandwich. We're going to win the battle the same way Jesus won the battle, in person, in purpose, and in prayer. That's how we're going to see things and prevail. You say, preacher, what is wrong with this generation? What is wrong with these people? Well, I'll tell you one of the things that's wrong. Some of it's the same thing that Israel had a problem with. First of all, they were afraid of the challenge. They looked down there and saw this guy. He was a giant, man. He came down there and they saw him. They said, listen, I'm 5'9". He looks to be about 10 foot. Man, he's been down here to the fitness place. Man, he's all ribbed up and man, this guy's huge. come down there and people look at him and say, man, look at that guy. That guy's been working out. Man, if he ever got me in a headlock, he'd pop my head like a pecan. You see, they were afraid of the challenge. But folks, listen to me. They were afraid of a man. It was a man. He seemed to be a real big man. But they were afraid of a man. Hey, folks, listen. We shouldn't fear men. We serve the living God. We serve a God that split a Red Sea. We've served a God that's brought water out of a rock. And listen, manna from heaven. We've served a God that has been nothing but good to us all of our lives. Why should we fear men? But they were afraid of the challenge. Tell you something else they did. They didn't think the cause was important enough to die for. Because if they'd have thought the cause is important enough to die for, somebody would have died. But they didn't. So they just sat there and took it. And folks, listen to me. You look at a preacher, I ain't taking it no more. Okay? You see, the thing about it is we've been sitting around doing nothing for so long, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of myself for doing it, and I'm tired of the people of God and America in general for allowing this to happen. And folks, you say, do you love America? Yes, I love America. You love the church? Yes, I love the church. And that's the reason that, listen, we've got to decide there's a challenge, but is there a cause? Is there a cause? The people didn't think the cause was important enough to die for. I'm just here to tell you, I think America's important enough to die for. I think that book's important enough to die for. I think the freedoms of religion are important enough to die for. I'm just here to tell you, you say, preacher, you sound like you're ready to die. Well, if that comes to it, then so be it. Because I'm just here to tell you, there's a cause, my friend. There's a cause that exists. You see, they were afraid of the challenge. They were afraid, or they didn't think the cause was important enough to die for. Listen, they were willing to take their chances that hopefully Goliath would just go away. But he didn't. And folks, if you think what America is being suppressed with is going to go away, you got another thing coming. Because listen, there's something a whole lot bigger than men behind this. There's a devil behind this. There's something a whole lot bigger than just men. We can point to men, but let me tell you something. Satan uses men. You say, preacher, what's wrong with this generation? I'll tell you what's wrong with this generation. We're deficient. We're deficient of moral character, listen to me, and patriotic character. We're deficient of moral character and patriotic character. That word deficient means to not have enough. It means inadequate. Now listen, I don't believe in about 99.99999 of the things that Tom Brokaw says, but I did write some things down that he wrote in a book that he entitled The Greatest Generation. I want you to listen to what he said. He said, the greatest generation which happened to be alive during the 20s and 30s and 40s and fought World War II and went through the Depression, he said their perseverance through difficult times is a testament to their extraordinary character. And folks, listen, you know where we live today? In Cupcake, USA. We don't know what suffering is. We don't know what a depression is. We don't know what hard times are. Listen, you talk to some of these people in their 70s and 80s and 90s here this morning, let me tell you something, they'll tell you what hard times are. But he said their perseverance through difficult times was a testament to their extraordinary character. He said they were born and raised in a tumultuous era marked by war, economic depression, and these men and women developed values of personal responsibility, duty, honor, and faith. And then he finished up and said this, they've given the succeeding generations the opportunity to accumulate great economic wealth, political muscle, and the freedom from foreign oppression. Listen now, while never demanding recognition from those who followed and prospered because of their sacrifices. Now, I don't agree with a lot of what he said, but he's right on that. He's right. Now, listen, there are a lot of people that have gone on before us that have sacrificed so that we could have what we are here today. And you know what? They deserve our respect. They deserve our honor. And they deserve our attention. We're deficient in moral character and patriotic character. Let me tell you something else we are today in American Christianity, we're delusional. We're delusional. You see, we're confused on the facts. We're out of focus. We're delusional about God, the Bible, the church, and service. For some reason today, this generation seems to think that God and Christians are the problem to progress. Yeah. You say, no, preacher, we're not the problem. Well, let me ask you this. Won't you go read the news and find out if the IRS don't think that's the problem? You say, oh, preacher, that was just so-and-so. Well, that's them now. It'll be you later. If you think this is just going to stop with an organization, no, it's going to trickle down to you as a Christian, and they'll find out who you are. You see, we're in a country that's disillusional. You see, we're disillusioned about God, Bible, church, service. We're disillusioned about freedom and liberty. I'm just here to tell you that we're living in tough times in a society that's deficient, disillusional. And can I say one more? We live in a society that's depressed. In a depressed society. A society that's decided to find itself in a state of loneliness, a state of inactivity, a state that our behavior is starting now to begin to find itself acting and doing things because of the things that we've put in, the things that we've seen, we've heard. You see, that word depressed means to be unstable to the times and to the situations that we face. But you know what depression leads to? Depression leads to idleness. It leads to apathy, isolation, and suicide. And if America continues on the path that we're going, we're going to commit suicide. That's where we're headed. You see, no other world power will have to bomb America to overcome, because we're on a fast track to just implode from within. The rest of the world, all they have to do is just sit back. Listen, we're on the process of imploding socially, financially, morally, and spiritually. And all the rest of the world is going to have to do is just wait back and come in and gather the spoils. And that's all Satan's doing. You say, oh, preacher, this scares me. Let me ask you, does it? Does it scare you? Do these thoughts make you uneasy? Can I say it should? Because we're in a situation today, our spiritual enemy is doing nothing but sitting and waiting for the opportunity to move in and claim your home and claim your family. Now, you say, preacher, what's the answer? One verse. Take your Bible real quick. 2 Chronicles 7. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Because everybody, you say, preacher, man, you've kind of painted this huge black cloud. It's raining all over my life right now. But there's hope, folks. There's hope. But God's got one way of hope for America. One way of hope for the believer. You see, we only have that one hope, and to avoid it's going to be disaster. We have but one choice to make to avoid judgment. We have but one way to follow to prosperity. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us what that is. Now look at it. The big word is the first word. You see the first word? Does your Bible say if? That means you have a choice, don't you? That means you can either choose to do what this verse says and have revival, or we can choose collectively as a nation not to do it and be destroyed. He said, if my people. Now folks, if you're a child of God today, can I say that judgment's going to begin at first at the house of God? He said, if my people, believers, chosen for this time, which are called by my name. Notice the first thing that he says. If we're going to have revival, if we're going to be able to bring America back around to the favor of God and the church of the living God into the favor of God, here's what he said. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Now folks, humility is the opposite of pride. And America is so eat up with pride and self that we don't think anybody can touch us. We don't think anybody can do anything whatsoever to us. And let me tell you something. Man's not going to have to. We're going to do it to ourselves. He said, if my people humble themselves, in other words, reverence God again, put God back in the forefront, begin to institute biblical values and church values, and begin to bring our country back into a place and say, you know what? We're not going to have this. Yet today, more abortions are taking place in America than ever before. Suicide's high as it's ever been. Foreclosures have been as high as they've ever been. Businesses are going broke at levels. Banks are closing at levels that the epic proportion. And we think this is normal. This is not normal. And it's not going to stop, folks, until we humble ourselves and reverence God again. Look what else he says. He says, if my people were to call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I just wonder how many people in here prayed any at all today, this week, this month, this year, or in the last 5 years. Now, folks, here's what happens. We think that prayer is only something that we use, we keep in the closet, and we only pull it out when we need it. Prayer is a way of life to a believer. It's our communication line. Listen, God says we need to humble ourselves, reverence Him again, and then He says we need to start talking to God again. Hey, we need to start communicating and say, Lord, look at this mess that we live in called America. Look at this mess that we live in called society. He says, humble yourselves and pray. Look what else He says. And seek my face. Let's incorporate the Lord again in our personal lives, in our churches. Listen, we got to get back to personal holiness. We've got to get back to home devotions. We've got to get back to serving God. Listen, we've got to get back to being concerned about the lost souls that are dying without Christ and going to hell. Hey, listen, He said, you need to seek my face. You know, many times children, my granddaughter's done this many times, she'll be talking to me, and I'm looking down, reading or doing something else. And when she was much smaller, she'd climb my lap. She'd take her hands and turn my face so that my face would be facing hers. She said, Poppy, when I talk to you, I want you to look at me. Oh, excuse me. But listen to me. You know why she wanted that? Because she wanted to make sure the message was getting communicated. And normally when you know for sure the message getting communicated, it's face to face. It's eye to eye. He said, seek my face. And then look at this last thing. And turn from their wicked ways. Now folks, listen. You know what I see in America today and in most of the churches of the living God today? A lot of white collar sin going on. You say, what do you call white collar sin, preacher? I'm talking about alt with your brother. Unforgiveness, bitterness, backbiting, gossip, and then we wonder why the favor of God doesn't come. You see, the thing about it is we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to get back living for God again. We need to put away our worldly associations. We need to shun destructive entertainment that's destroying our country, our homes, and our lives. Listen, we need to change our attitude toward God. You know what God promised? Look what He said. He said, then and only then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, in a congregation this size, there are multiple people here. Some of you this morning need to turn back to the Lord. Maybe you've strayed. Maybe you've become prodigal in your Christian life. God says, listen, I'm not going to let this go much longer now. He said, I let Goliath spit up for 40 days, and I took care of him. Jesus was tempted for 40 days, or was in the wilderness 40 days. But there was a time that he came down. I'm just asking you, how much more time do we have? 2 years? 5 years? At the rate we're going, maybe not even that far. I'm just saying to you, folks, there's a challenge. Is there not a cause? There's another group of people here today that know not Christ. Do you know there's a greater cause than anything that's worthy? It's your soul. It's in eternity with God. And the only way that's possible is through Jesus Christ. You see, we here on this Memorial Day weekend are here to remember the fallen and many that have given their lives for this country. But can I say, there's one that gave his life for the sins of the whole world. And that day when he died over 2,000 years ago, he died for you and me. And all the sins of the world were put on him. He did that for you. What a great memorial. Would you come this morning and put your faith and trust in Christ? Folks, there's a challenge before us. But my question to you this morning is there a cause with you? Is there a cause? Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Please, no one move about. This is a very personal time. We're talking about the souls of people this morning. I wonder how many this morning, maybe during the preaching, maybe a still small voice of God spoke to you about your soul. Maybe a still small voice of God spoke to you about your condition, about your sin. I wonder how many this morning would say, "Preacher, if I died right where I said, I'm not even sure that heaven's my home. I've thought about it. I've read about it. I've even had people talk to me about it. But I'll just be honest with you, preacher, today, if I died where I am today, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. Nobody's looking but me. Is there not a cause? Is your soul not important?" I'm here to tell you today, it's most important to God. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, you've never had a born-again experience with Jesus this morning, would you say, "Preacher, please pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. It's just that I don't have that security in my heart. Nobody's looking but me." Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you this morning. Say, "That's me. That's me." Just slip it up. Say, "Preacher, that's me. If I died where I am, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me." God bless you. You can put your hand down. Someone else should say, "Preacher, that's me." Who'll join this one and say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me." Just slip it up. Slip it up. Let me pray for you. Say, "I don't know for sure if I died and going to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." Anybody else? We may have some here this morning that you've already been saved, but you've never been baptized after you got saved. Maybe someone came to your home. Maybe someone on the job witnessed to you and you got gloriously saved. And they talked to you about being baptized. You say, "Preacher, I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me. I need to obey God in that area." Nobody looking but me. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. That's it. After I got saved, preacher, never been baptized. After I got saved, please pray for me." Anybody? God bless you and you. Anybody who joined these two, say, "Preacher, come. Pray for me. Pray for me. I've already been saved but never been baptized." Anybody else? Anybody? All right, maybe you're here this morning. You'd say, "Preacher, I'm a believer. And I believe there's a cause. I believe there's not only just a cause in America, I believe there's a cause in Christianity to take a stand today." And you say, "Preacher, I'm willing to take that stand." Now don't raise your hand if you don't mean it. But I want to pray for God's power and strength, because your day and your hour is coming just like mine is. The church one day was going to be confronted. I don't know how long it's going to be, but one of these days we may come to church and this building may be surrounded by the National Guard or something, and saying, "Hey, listen, there's a mandate. You cannot serve God in this church anymore." Are we going to stand, or are we just going to walk away? How many of you would say, "Preacher, there's no question. I know what the challenge, I see the challenge, and I know the cause." And you'd say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I, with God's help, I'm going to stand for the cause. Nobody's looking but me. Pray for me." Slip your hand way up high. You say, "That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me." All right. God bless you. Everywhere, everywhere. Wonderful. Now, Father, I'm going to ask you, please, this morning in Jesus' name to do your work in the hearts and lives of people. Father, there are some this morning that need to be saved that raise their hands. Let them come at the invitation. There are some this morning, Lord, that need to come and join this church. And Lord, I pray that if it's your will that they might come. There are some that need to come this morning. They've already been saved. They've just never been scripturally baptized according to the Bible. Lord, if they came to church today, let them do the work that you call them to do. Let them serve you in that area. And Father, I pray that they would come to follow you in believer's baptism. And then Father, I pray this morning for every believer that raised their hand and said, "I'm going to take a stand. I know the challenge. And I believe there's a cause, and I'm going to stand for the cause." We thank you, Father, for faithful people. Would you help us and give us strength to do the work in the will of God? And we'll give you all the glory and praise for the outcome of this invitation this morning in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? As we stand together, I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix if he'd begin to sing. Listen, if you raised your hand this morning for any reason, for any cause, would you join me at the altar this morning? If you meant what you said, say, "Preacher, I'm going to stand because I know what the challenge is. I'm going to stand for the cause." Would you come and join us? Would you come join us this morning? Hey, there is a great need. There's a great need. What God needs is people who are going to stand up for truth, the Bible, the Word of God, and for right. What America needs today is patriots given to the cause, desirous to see America return to its greatness. Would you come and pray with us about that? On this Memorial Day weekend, where we remember so many that stood up for the cause.